Christmas. Weeks and weeks you were waiting and waiting for Christmas Day. You were waiting for presents, waiting for time with your cousins and your friends, waiting for all the yummy food that came on Christmas Day. But then Boxing Day came and it was a bit of a letdown. The day didn't go long enough. You didn't get as many presents as you thought you would get. The right people didn't come to the Christmas Day party. And so Boxing Day was always a bit of a disappointment. But as we look at Jesus, and as we look at the reasons he came, he's never a disappointment. And in our passage tonight, we are looking that he came to destroy the works of the devil. And this is a great encouragement to the readers of this passage. And so I pray that we'll be encouraged tonight. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just ask that you help us as we come to your word tonight. We ask that you help us to see truth. And to see your Son more clearly, and that we may cling to him and abide in him more tonight than we did when we came. We pray all these things in his name. Amen. Well, as I said, 1 John is an encouragement to Christians. So if you open up your Bibles there, we'll be looking at chapter 3. And what John is saying to his readers is that they are radically different from anyone else in the world. As Christians, they are not like the rest of the people. And the thing that makes them different is being in Jesus Christ. And being in Jesus Christ, we have that wonderful statement that says, we can be called the children of God. And he encourages them in this as a way to remember to live righteously and to live the call of the Christian life. But at the same time as he does this, he contrasts it to another group of people. Another group of people that live a different way. Another group of people that do not know the children of God. And this is because those group of people, their father is not God, their father is the devil. So we have a picture of two families that are at war with each other. Two families that don't get along at all. This might remind you of Romeo and Juliet, which had the Montague and the Catapult families. I wish Mega said that joke wouldn't work. It's the Montague and the... I think it's the Capulet. That's it, Capulet. That's the reason I put that joke in there. I can never say it. So there's two families and they did not get along. But if you like good movies, it might remind you of a mafia movie where you have two crime families and you have a crime boss, the Godfather, and they're at war with each other. And that's a bit like the picture we have tonight. We have two different families and they're at war with each other. But when we get to verse 8, which is the verse we'll be looking at tonight, we are told that one of the families takes away the power of the other one, or one of the families destroys the work of the other one. And this is really important in this war between these two families. Jesus, who of course is the Son of God, destroys the works of the devil. He destroys the power of the head of the other family. This is a critical point for the war between these two families. But why do we care? Where do we fit in? Why does this matter to us? Well, our first point is, sin is everyone's biggest problems. And what John is telling us in our passage tonight is that every human is either following God or the devil. We are either in one of these families or we are in the other. And we know from other parts of the Bible that Satan was once one of God's angels. We see that in Revelation and Ezekiel. And he was in fact one of the highest angels. But he rebelled against God in his pride, and he turned against God and started a rebellion. Jesus tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, that the devil was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So this is the head of this other family. This is the devil. And where we see the devil's work most prominently in the Bible is at the beginning. If we go back to Genesis, we remember that God made Adam and Eve very good, and they were at peace with God. But then the devil came and deceived them. He tricked them into disobeying God. He lied to them, and he told them that the tree was something that God was withholding from them, even though it would benefit them and it would make their life better. And that God wouldn't do what he said he would do to them. They wouldn't have death if they ate from this tree. And when Adam and Eve believed the devil, they turned against God, and this had devastating effects for them. While before this, everything was good, and Adam dwelt with peace with God. God spoke to him and gave him jobs to do. Now, he could no longer be in the presence of God. When God spoke to him, he and Eve hid. They were at war with God. They had joined the side of the devil. And they no longer could do what God required of them. They no longer could do what God had put them on earth to do. Satan had turned them away, and there was no way for them to get back. They were stuck under the deception of Satan. And this is what Satan continues to do today. Satan continues to tempt the world to look elsewhere other than to God for what we need. We look to wealth, we look to possessions, we look to power, relationships, and good times. We chase all these things for our fulfillment. We chase all these things for the purpose of our lives rather than God and what he says. We follow a lie rather than the truth. And this is Satan's work. And this is what has been happening in the world since Adam and Eve. If we remember, God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments, which was the moral code on how to live, and almost immediately they rebelled against it, and they worshipped a golden calf. When God sent other prophets after this, they were either ridiculed, or they were cast out, or they were ignored. And this is because people were under the deception of the devil. And this is how we are all naturally born. We are born taking after our parents who are sinners, who take after their parents who are sinners, who take after their parents who are sinners, and so on, all the way back to Adam and Eve, who followed Satan. Romans 3 describes it vividly for us. It says, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are an open grave, their tongues practice deceit. The venom of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery lie in their wake, and the way of peace they have not known, and there is no fear of God before their eyes." What do these people look like? Well, they look like their father, the devil. They have a family resemblance to the head of their family. They prefer lies to truth. They prefer disobedience rather than obeying, and we like to chase after things that we shouldn't, and we even go against our own conscience. This is the natural state of man. We are followers of the devil. Often in life, we like to think our biggest problem is something else, like a disease, maybe our government or politicians, global warming, education, maybe our job or our husband or our wife, our children. But really, this is our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is the family we are born into. We are born into the family of the devil, not God. And just like Shani looks exactly like me, when we are born, we look exactly like the devil. It's probably not the best likeness. But this is the truth. All humans have taken after their father, the devil, in their natural state. And this seems very dire and hopeless. And it's not a popular thing to talk about. It's a big problem. And we can't fix it even if all the greatest minds on earth got together, because we're all in the same boat. We're all in the same family. But the good news is God had a plan. And he had a plan all the way back in Genesis 3. He promises that someone will come and strike the head of the devil. Jesus was that plan. And our passage in 1 John reminds us that Jesus came and broke this curse of Satan for humans. Jesus came to get us away to get out of our family in the devil. Christmas is celebrated by millions across the world because Jesus came to free us from the lies. Jesus came to free us from the devil. Jesus came to solve our biggest problem of sin. And so our second point tonight is Jesus is our only alternative. Why Jesus? Why is he so important? What did Jesus do to save us from our biggest problem? Well, the answer is pretty simple. He actually just did everything that the devil didn't. He actually was everything that the devil wasn't. While we were all born of sinful parents, Jesus was born by a virgin through the Holy Spirit. Matthew 1:18 tells us that. While the devil spoke lies, Jesus came and spoke the truth. John 8 that we read in the morning, that we read at the start, tells us that. And while the devil rebelled against God, Jesus was perfectly obedient to his Father in heaven. Luke 23:4 tells us that. While the devil was proud, Jesus was a humble servant. Philippians 2:8 tells us that. And while the devil brought separation from God, Jesus was the incarnation of God dwelling with man. Again, our verse that we started with tonight tells us that. While the devil brought death, in Jesus we are told we can be born again. We can be born again into his family. Jesus is everything the devil isn't. Jesus came as an alternative. Jesus came to save us from the devil and from our sin. Through Jesus, we can return to peace with God as his children. He is the only way out of the sinful family we are born into. This is why John tells us in verse 8 that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. John is telling us that without Jesus, we are enslaved to one way of living. And the only way out of that way of living, a life of perpetual sin, is through this man, Jesus Christ. Well, what better reason is there for a public holiday? What better reason is there to celebrate? This is why we rejoice at the coming of Jesus. He came to free the world from slavery to sin. But is this just a Christmas thing? Is this something that just makes us feel good in December, in the lead up to Christmas? I don't think that's what John's letter is telling us. John describes both these families and describes the likeness of each of these people so that we can work out who we are following. And that's our last point this evening. I really want us to think about who are we following. And the first thing I would like to note is there is no third option. There's no spectators. There's no undecided. There's no people sitting on the fence. We are all either in one or the other of these families. So who are you following? Well, John tells us, if we're living a life of habitual sin, separate from God, chasing after the lies of the devil, then we cannot know God, and that we must be of the devil. This is the reality for those who live a life under the spell or the curse of Satan and continually turn their face away from God. But there is good news for you. This is exactly the reason Jesus came. Jesus came exactly for people like you. Through him you can have new birth. Through him you can have a new heart. Through him you can be in the family of God and no longer need to be deceived. However, if you have already done this, which I suspect is a lot of you turning up to Boxing Day evening service, John has something for you too. John is calling you to do something as well. In verse 2 and 3, John tells us that as Christians, we are looking forward to Jesus' return, where we will be made like him. He says that until that day when he comes and makes us pure, we should continue to purify ourselves. In John 6, sorry, in verse 6, John warns us not to be deceived. See, while we are free from the devil and we are called children of God now, there is still a battle going on between these two families. Satan is still at work in the world, and he is still tempting even the children of God. And so what John is telling his readers is to press on in the task handed to us, to strive for righteousness and to strive away from what we once were under the works of the devil. And we can see this throughout the Bible. Many followers of Christ were deceived by false teachers. Many of the disciples at times were embarrassed to proclaim Christ or spoke against his will and his teaching. As well, as we see during the letters of the New Testament, greed and fighting within churches. The devil is still at work and loves to trap Christians back into sin. But John here is encouraging the children of God to remember that Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil, and that as we battle sin and as we strive for righteousness, we should be doing it in his strength. The call is repeated throughout this passage to abide in him, remain in him, be found in him. This is what a Christian will do. We've had several testimonies over the last few weeks, and I noticed a similar sentiment in all of them. All of them knew a time where they knew nothing but sin until they turned to Jesus. But they all spoke of a battle that continues on, of a life trying to rid themselves of sin through the work of Jesus Christ and in his power. John tells us this work is important. John tells us that just like we can see the children of the devil through their works, we can also see the children of God through theirs. The children of God will purify themselves. The children of God will not abide in sin anymore. They will fight it. They will join the battle of their new family. They will follow the rule of their new father and their new leader in Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, so that we may continue in this work until he returns, when he will make us pure like him. I want to encourage you to continually remember that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and this is why we as Christians have hope in him returning again. You won't be disappointed as you continue to dwell and abide in him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for your Son. We thank you that he came and freed us from our biggest problem. We thank you that in him we no longer are under the deception of the devil. And we just pray that you will continue to draw us back to him, continue to help us purify ourselves and wage war against sin and the devil, Lord. And we just pray that you will help us in his name. Amen.